the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Rusty again, you know, working that 9 to 5 on the other side of the country. So it's really hard to get him on. He's going to come through where all the information we have, he has, he's sending us stuff as we go. But Sergeant Salty, Justin Marcus, you never miss a beat. You're always here. Yep. You got the Sparty. I got the Detroit Lions on. We're going to talk about both of those teams coming up. But Jay, before we do, the season's technically over. Golf's about to hit the reset. You've got the President's Cup coming up. Liv tees off tomorrow, and you know, and they've got a bunch of big additions to the roster. But last week we saw the FedEx Cup conclude, the race to the FedEx Cup. It's a big deal. Rory McIlroy has an amazing Sunday to cap it off. And look, I enjoyed watching it. I watched every second of that final round because it was intense and it was fun, and it was enjoyable because they were neck and neck. Now, if you'd asked me that 3 days prior, I would have told you I hate it, because to me it doesn't make sense why, yes, you're leading in the FedEx Cup in points. That's great. Why do you get a 5-shot head start over everybody else? That to me doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they adopted that in 2019 as I was doing some, it's called research. I tried to research. Do some research for today. In 2019, they adopted the stroke lead for players within the FedEx Cup standings. I hate it. And yeah, not to mention, this year already feels incomplete because half of the major winners since 2016 aren't even in the FedEx Cup right now because mm-hmm. they're at Liv. This is like, congratulations, McIlroy, I think it's pronounced. McIlroy. You won a asterisk FedEx Cup. And then on top of it, you get a 5-stroke lead before you even tee off. Like, that, like, there's just things you look at it and objectively you're just like, that's not fair. That doesn't, like, what's the purpose of giving someone a strokes before they even show up?
Well, yeah, and you know, I was talking to my dad about it, and he's like, well, you know, that's the advantage. It's like, no, the advantage is they're ahead of everybody else in points. Other people have to finish that much further in front of this person to match the points. You don't get strokes. And he goes, oh, I don't know about that. I said, well, think about it this way. At the end of the NBA season, there is a clear-cut number one team in the league who had the best record. That team gets home court advantage. They don't get to start every game with 10 more points than everybody else. They have to play the game straight up. They just get to play at home more. That's the advantage. Giving someone, like, that would be like saying, oh, by the way, for the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, Colorado, you're going to get a goal before every game. We're going to start every game. You get one goal. That's an obscene advantage. Now, again, in this particular case, it worked out. Scheffler couldn't hold on. But at the same time, if Scheffler goes and wins by 10 strokes, it's like, well, yeah, you gave him a five-stroke head start. Like, no one's going to be able to keep up with that.
Right. Yeah. So, I would much rather see, like, you win the waste management. Mm-hmm. You get FedEx points. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see strokes be, like, a part of it. I want to see you, like, maybe that is your sponsor now at the FedEx Championship, like, on the final weekend. Maybe you've got waste management all over you. You've got a waste management ball. And waste management also cuts you a check for winning their tournament. You get to represent that weekend during FedEx instead of strokes. Like, yeah. There's got to be a better way where you can incorporate in a incentive for winning on a regular weekend and carrying it into the FedEx for, like, you know, home court advantage. It's got to be better than the current system. And it's only been in place since 19. We can rewind that clock.
Well, and part of the reason they changed it was because they were tired of every year someone would win the Tour Championship, which is the final leg of the FedEx Cup at Eastlake. Someone would win the Tour Championship, but someone else would win the FedEx Cup. So you had to give two trophies out, and they're like, well, we don't want that. We want one trophy. And it's like, okay, that's fine. Then you need to work out a way where someone doesn't get a 5-shot advantage over everybody else, because most years you're pretty much sealing their deal. You're just saying, show up, play, you're going to win. And that's not how it needs to be. They need to figure out something different, because you're going to lose me. It's not entertaining to turn the TV on and see, oh, Scottie Scheffler's already 14 under par because they gave him a 8-shot lead over the rest of the field, and all it's he had so to do stupid. Was play a normal round.
I wish there was like an alternate league that people could play in and get guaranteed money and maybe even a shotgun Like,
start. There you go. Wait, you know where that, that sounds like something. I have heard of that. There's this up and coming little rink dink shop overseas that they're trying stuff like that. They're in their beta testing.
I kid you not. They dropped merchandise yesterday at one or today at one. I forgot what it was. Live hats are $40 a pop, and I stopped myself because I'm like, I don't know where this money is technically going. Yeah, like, I don't know where my cash is gonna go. But the L, that's the shape, like, you know, it's obviously the shape of a club, like an iron.
Yeah,
I want one of those hats so badly.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one that's paying for the bullet. I get that. I don't
know where it's going. But yeah, it's a fire hat.
Let me ask you this, because like we said, this is a football pack show. There's so much football coming up the next week that we have to talk about. Before we do, like I said, season's over now. This is where like a lot of the big names will go on quote unquote vacation until after the start of the year and all that. But what does that do for you in golf? Like when's the next time that Justin Marcus is going to turn the TV on and actually go to the Golf Channel on a Sunday? Is this your vacation too for a little while? And then when we get to the other side of the year, you'll be like, okay, waste management, you know, those kind of things. Or are you someone who it's Sunday, you're doing stuff around the house, flip it on and see who's in the leaderboard at the Barracuda Open?
Dude, you saw me text the other day. I was watching tennis while I was working out.
Attaboy.
I will suck down whatever I can put in front of me. So whether it's 2K22 or it's Liv or it's some random ass tournament with maybe one name I know on the leaderboard. I don't take a break. I'll watch it still.
Yeah, I think the answer to that question could be very easily answered if I turned this camera around and pointed at my TV right now, because I have the Corn Ferry Tour on right now.
See, there you go.
Golf is just too much apart. Not to mention there's nothing else on right now. I'm with you though. You sent the thing about tennis, and I immediately switched over. Was watching tennis. Had it on last night at work. It's fun. It's entertaining to see. And look, it could potentially be the farewell tour for Serena Williams. So any chance you have to watch her just beast mode through people, it's absolutely insane.
If you want to get some tips, like Paige Sporanic puts on an excellent Just the Tips segment on her IG, and you can watch her. Like, you want to get those divot patterns rolling?
I did see that one.
Okay, we're on the same literal page.
Yeah, you haven't lost me. All right, switching over. Like we said, football's coming up. The Lions just wrapped the preseason. Not a great final showing against the Pittsburgh Steelers. No Jared Goff to start, though. They were really testing out the backups. Some nice pieces, though. But, Jay, third episode. Hard Knocks came out. It wraps with Pittsburgh and all that. But we said it last week. Every episode seems to boost that win total. And it did it again for me. It really has me. And this is going to sound weird, because up until now, I have not used this as a point. It's got me excited about our defense. That front seven, it just looks exciting. Hutchinson, Thor, I know how much you do not like
Alex his Anzalani. Hair. Yeah, I know how much you do not him.
Like his hair. Rodrigo, the guy is just so much fun.
He's cool.
He's a tackling machine. Obviously Barnes, who they drafted last year. They have a lot of pieces, and this defense just looks fun. And it looks like it's going to be entertaining. Now, that being said, I'm not talking like 2000 Baltimore Ravens or 84 Bears. I'm saying they look fun. They look like they're going to be competitive.
No, I would agree with that. I think when it's evident when they were doing the, offense gets three first downs, they win during the practice. I think the players coached practice, and you just see Hutch coming through, and he's just get like what like. Sack,
he gassed himself. And he gassed himself up. By the end, he was literally like flopping back and forth walking because he had nothing left to give. And that's what you want.
He was complaining about his legs not being underneath him and like just winded. I thought Campbell was going to like punch him in the hamstring, like give him a Charlie horse or some shit. Because Campbell was getting closer and closer as Hutch was complaining. I thought Campbell was going to be like, shut up.
Well, and you saw Campbell given a tight end a little tip on how to do a block and all that. And I was like, oh, dear Lord, he's going to go, give me your helmet. I'll show you. I thought he was going to put his helmet on and step in and discussing, you know, this guy could go, this guy could stay. And they said, what do you think about getting rid of Craig Reynolds? Deuce Staley's response when they said, what do you think about getting rid of Craig Reynolds? He literally said, you're going to have a football team that's going to be very upset with you if you get rid of Craig Reynolds. I think that speaks a lot to what they see in this guy and what I personally see. This guy looks like a heck of a talent.
if you put in Craig Reynolds aside, because he is a talent, he's going to be used in all kinds of different ways. If you look at how they're managing players, it's very different from what we're used to in the past. Yeah. Prior regimes would have held on to Boyle and Blau. Prior regimes would have held on to Funchess and Pimpleton.
Mm-hmm.
These player coaches know what staff or what talent needs to be surrounded on them, even if it's off the field kind of shit, which I don't like really buy in. Like, I hate when the Wings do that. Oh, we kept this guy in the fourth line. He's a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that kind of shit, but you have player coaches who know the right players that need to be on this team. And that was evident right there. Reynolds has to stay. And he did.
Yeah, no, I get that. And yeah, this was a year where I feel like instead of getting rid of, you know, this and that, they really did a great job of just trimming all the fat off and saying, we're not going to leave any of it on there. Yes, these guys have a shot to be competitive, but they're not ready there right now. And you mentioned Pimpleton and Funchess. Those two guys were competing at spots that might be the deepest spot on the team.
Correct.
So it's very hard to say, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. The only, like, Funchess was the only one I kind of questioned, because it's like, look, Quintez Cephas hasn't really given us a lot over the last couple of years. Not that Funchess is miles ahead, but Funchess is just a good red zone big body. That's about it. But again, Cephas is a complete field guy, so I get that. I did want to talk about that. We were going to talk about this roster because, like we said, they were talking about cutting Craig Reynolds, and this episode came out the day before the final cuts. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any idea what was going to happen. I was like, oh, God, I'm going to wake up in the morning and Craig Reynolds is going to have been axed. This is not something I want to see. A couple quick updates for you. Lions claim defensive tackle Benito Jones off of the waivers from the Dolphins. Corresponding, they waived Jamar Jefferson, running back at for the Lions. Signed Nate Sudfeld. We were talking about that one before the show. They waived David Blau. Riley Patterson, kicker, goes to the Jaguars. They released Pimpleton. He signed with the Giants for the practice squad. Lions, who cleared waivers, were running back Godwin Igwebuke, offensive tackle Darren Paulo, and cornerback Cedric Boswell. And then a couple of names here that I really was kind of upset that they cut, but that these people made it to the practice squad, because I think they're going to be competitive. One, I was astonished that they waived Tom Kennedy. I was really
astonished. Yeah, he had those first two grabs. But like you just said it yourself, wide receiver, running back, tight end are the spots that we don't have depth concerns. Like, it's not the premier talent, but we have the depth where you see a Tom Kennedy not make the team.
Yeah, so he's practice squad. Justin Jackson got practice squatted. One that when they brought him back, I was like, okay, this guy's not going anywhere. You don't bring this guy back to not play. That's Jared Davis, who he appeared to have a pretty good camp. It wasn't, he'll always know how to get to the football. He has a hard time covering guys, and he looked like he had made some improvements there. They waived him. Obviously he did get signed to the practice squad. And then I would go as far to say maybe a Hard Knocks favorite, offensive tackle Abina Easy, which that guy just,
dude, that was too easy of a selection to get rid of his ass.
Yeah.
They showed in the players' camp where I believe Goff would have been sacked if it was contact, but he just gave up. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was during the Pittsburgh game.
Yes.
And it's when one of the irrelevant now backup quarterbacks was, like, dead on the field, and Easy was like, oh. He had his hands above him like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah. So we'll go real quick here. Just kind of get impressions. Obviously, quarterback, they've got two. Goff, Sudfeld. We've shared our opinions on this. I think Goff's going to be a guy that's going to be here past next year. I do think that we're going to slowly realize. People like seem to forget Jared Goff was the number one overall pick a couple years ago. It wasn't that Jared Goff couldn't play in this league. I think we ran into a situation kind of like Bob Quinn when it came to Caldwell. McVay just wanted his own guy. And to him, Goff wasn't his guy. It wasn't that Goff couldn't play. He wanted his guy.
Yeah.
It was the same thing with Bob Quinn. Bob Quinn, Caldwell was a great coach. He wanted his guy. So I think Goff's going to be the person. Now, again, we said receiver. You mentioned running back. This could be the best spot on the team. DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, Craig Reynolds. Those are all three guys that you could start any one of them in a week, and there's no miss there. All of those guys did start last year. So that's a great position 100%.
And you know what? And I would draft another running back next year. Fantasy football, you see it all the time. People as a stud one year, they fall off the next. Keep it running.
Absolutely. Wide receiver DJ Shark, we didn't see a lot of him throughout the preseason. Josh Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond, Quintez Cephas, another great position. Expect that to cycle. There's no way Kennedy doesn't see some time if one of these guys go down. But look, you're talking about Shark, Reynolds, and St. Brown. That's a great trio to have. Most teams would kill to have that trio.
Not mad at it.
Tight end, obviously Hawk, Brock Wright, James Mitchell, Shane Zistra. Look, Hawk and Wright are the two guys. Those other guys, they're great to have as padding, but TJ Hawkinson is probably one of the top three players on this team from week to week. He's one of the top tight ends in the league. That offensive line, a lot of things have been said that this could be one of the top lines in the league. I don't disagree with it. You have guys like Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, Haloti Vaitai, Penei Sewell, Evan Brown, and then Tommy Kramer. Those are all those guys started at some point last year for this team. And those first five I mentioned that's a great solid top five in the front that you want for this team. And the thing about it that's great, Jay, all of them have had a off season now together.
Yep. And they just need to have a season where they're healthy and everyone can play their correct position. That is, I believe, our strongest asset on this team right now is our O-line.
Are you comfortable with the fact that they seem committed that Penei Sewell will be a right tackle, not a left tackle like he's been for most of his career? They're sticking with Decker on that left side.
That's fine. Taylor Decker's been there for a while, and they weren't going to either get rid of Decker or make him move out of a position. If Sewell is a professional athlete, he better get his reps on the right and get comfortable with it.
Absolutely. Get to the other side of the ball. This is where I get really excited because a lot of these names are great though. Michael Brockers, Aleem McNeil, Levi Azuarake, Bugs Taylor, and then Benito Jones, who I just mentioned. On the edges, you got Aiden Hutchinson, Charles Harris, Julian Okwara, Austin Bryant, and John Kaminsky. Look, Bryant was here last year. Okwara was here last year. Hutch is the first overall pick. He appears to be great. Brockers, Neal, Azuarake, all of those guys played last year for this team. They're building depth, which is something this team has struggled to do over the last couple of years.
And to help compound some future success, and I hate to say this, especially with the shirt I have on right now, Hutch is going to make their jobs easier. Our best defense is when we had Fairley and Sue, and those two guys made everyone's job easier on defensive line. And you put in Hutch and you saw him wreak havoc. Wait, just watch him get his first sack against the Eagles.
Yeah.
And watch, he's going to be a great player on this team. It's going to make a lot of things easier for everyone else around him.
What's nice is no one has to double dip now. Everybody can do their job. So the interior linemen don't have to worry about helping the edge and all that. They can do their job. Hutch is not a guy that's going to leave people, you know, hanging out. Linebackers, like we mentioned, Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes, Malcolm Rodriguez, Chris Board, Josh Woods. Look, Anzalone, Barnes, and Rodriguez, that's your starting three linebackers right there. I don't think that's that much of a debate. What I think is insane, Malcolm Rodriguez was a sixth-round pick. This guy is a sixth-round pick who, if you've watched any of this tape, if you've seen any of these games, he looks like he understands the assignment.
Do the Calvin Shepard. He's the guy.
It really was. It's like that old Cardinals video where it's like, if you want to crown their ass, crown their ass. But we let him off the hook. That's really what we got out of that. Corners, Arwarie, Okuda, Will Harris, Bobby Price, Mike Hughes, Chase Lucas might have stolen Hard Knocks with some of those, you know, just getting in people's faces, hyping everybody up. But Awari and Okuda, they appear to be the two guys. This is a big year for Okuda. He's got to prove that he wasn't a miss. I know you have speculations on Okuda. I'm still willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. You're a little more hypercritical than I am when it comes to defensive backs.
Let me put it, I'm just going to name names, and you know what kind of a watchful eye I have on them. Dan Cleary. Mm-hmm. Danny DeKeyser, Michael Rasmussen. All three of those guys is the same treatment that Jeff Okuda gets now. It's got to be what we were sold.
Yeah.
All three of those guys, Jeff Okuda has to come to the table. I think by far, if you go to any position group and grab a singular player and their talent, Okuda's the guy that you have to see if you drafted what you got. We watched Hawkinson raise his abilities every single year, and we were comparing all his numbers. He's fine. Gold star. Now it's up for, you know, why did you take a corner at third?
Yeah.
So no, Okuda has to be that guy on defense.
This is a proving season. He can't go out and have a middle of the road season. He's got to prove that third overall pick was justified. partly because the last 2 years, our third overall pick was Penei Sewell, and our second overall pick was Aiden Hutchinson. Those are your comparisons now. Those are the guys we're measuring you to. So if Penei Sewell goes out and has a great rating, pass blocking, and he's one of the top right tackles, and we don't see a lot of sacks off that edge, and Aiden Hutchinson goes out and is in conversation for defensive rookie of the year, and is tied the team in sacks or something, and then Okuda comes out and has a lackluster year, you know, okay, here's our standard. You haven't met it. Sorry. And it would be justifiable at that point. He's not a Hughes guy. Holmes and Campbell guy. He's not theirs. He is what I've mentioned many times when we talk about, he's the Zadina. He's that one last holdover from the pre-Eiserman regime where he's going to give you a chance, but if you don't prove it, you don't have a lot of water to tread before you sink.
Love that hockey is just the common denominator that when you have a sport, we will default it back to the NHL. It's just known.
We can find a way. Lastly, safeties, Tracy Walker, Deshaun Elliott, Ifeanyi Melifonwu, Kirby Joseph, Juju Hughes. Tracy Walker is a big signing back from that. It's great to have. He completes that secondary, makes it tough. And then lastly, Jack Fox, Russ's boy. He loves him. Scott Daly, long snapper, and Austin Seibert for the kicker. We have Jameson Williams, obviously the big draft out of Alabama, on injured list. Kabinda on injured list. You have Romeo Okwara and Josh Pascal on injured list. Jerry Jacobs and Greg Bell all on injured. Getting Williams back, Kabinda back, Okwara and Pascal. Those are just big pieces you add to this team. So, look, we just went through that roster, and as I was going through it, I'm like, this group looks good. This group looks good. This group looks good. But the thing that I was hard pressed to say is, Jay, I can't find the group that doesn't look good.
That's easy for me. I know it's easy for you.
I'm just making the point, like obviously only having one quarterback and we not really seeing what he's done. Yep. We know he's a talented guy out of San Francisco, but not seeing what he's done, that leaves a little, but I look at that as a position that if you do it right, the backup quarterback is literally just there to hold the clipboard and tell you what the next play is, because your quarterback is the guy. So that's why I don't look at that as a weak one, because there's no rotation to it. There's no depth to it outside of if you run into QB troubles.
Yeah. See, and I have the same sentiment that you do, as I look at everything else. I'm like, great, it's average or above average, and I like it. But then when you make that statement, in my mind, now the quarterback position, their bar just got raised because now they're the linchpin behind the whole thing. It's no different than when Stafford got hurt and our season went to shit like 2 or 3 years ago. Like,
when it
okay,
was
so now, yeah, so now the pressure is on Stafford. I'm sorry, Jesus. Now the pressure is on Goff. And when Goff exits because of an injury, if that happens, like now all of that great talent that's divided up between the groups could be for naught. And that's what worries me, is that we don't have that guy in the waiting. I always like running back and quarterback. There better be a rookie with a red shirt on paying attention. Like, I want that to be talent there. We just don't have that right now. So quarterback would be the only area that gives me pause. I'd hate to have a Sunday where Goff gets hurt and then all of us are saying, what are we doing now? Cause that's going to suck. Cause it's not Nate Sudfeld.
Well, and that's what worries me. That's who we've been referring to. Nate Sudfeld, quarterback out of Indiana, 2016, sixth round pick. He's played for Washington, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and now Detroit. He has a Super Bowl with the Eagles as a backup. This is what worries you, though, and this is where I don't know what, like, talent-wise, he might be there. I really don't know. Blau had the experience. He has at least played in this league and has played a meaningful amount of snaps. To date, 25 of 37, 188 yards, one touchdown, one interception is all Sudfeld has recorded. He has basically a game worth of stats to compare to.
Jesus.
So
I didn't know that.
That's the thing. What they saw, they must have saw something. It's reached a point now where what Holmes and Campbell see, we trust. But in comparison, out of Purdue, Blau went undrafted. Cleveland and Detroit, only two teams. He has four touchdowns to seven interceptions, 1,000 yards, 55 rushing yards and one rushing touchdown. So he has at least stats to back up what he's done.
Maybe it's more of a message then. It's a message at that position. There's no loyalty. You're either good or you're not.
Yeah.
And the experience might be there. The familiarity might be there. But if this team is going to say, look, and it's Goff's team no matter what, and the next guy up better be just as good as Goff, or we're just going to keep churning it over, then keep going. Find another one.
Well, I want to get to the next thing before I do, Jay. Real quick, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What's the best position group on the Lions right now?
Offensive line.
Okay. I'm going to say receiver just because I feel like they've got an abundance of talent there. They've got some guys on practice squad, but offensive line is very nice. I like what we're seeing out of it. I like that it's not three different names every year. It's the same five names the last couple years. And
there's a nucleus.
That's a sign of building. Absolutely. Okay. Look, Lions, it's great. We love to talk about it. Their next game is still over a week away. We're going to do another show before then. So we need to talk about the games that happen to be literally 24 hours away. Yep. Jay, you've waited so long and you've been so patient and kind. We're going to lead it off with it. Okay. We're going to start with it. The Michigan State Spartans take on the Western Michigan Broncos in East Lansing. Of course.
The woodshed.
Yeah. Whatever you say. Michigan State is a 94% favorite to win this game. So you know what that means. It will be an upset.
Shut up.
Over-under is 21. I'm sorry. The spread is 21.
Yeah.
Over-under is 54.5.
Yeah.
Look, you've got, obviously, what Tucker did with this team last year, amazing. Now, your top player moves to the NFL. Kenneth Walker was a beast, an absolute beast. But you have pieces returning. This is a very solid core, and they've had another year to improve on that and to embrace the philosophies. So I'm excited from that, NJ, but look, they're your Spartans. I want to let you have the time to talk about them.
All right. So we're going to address a little bit of this game and a little bit of my optimism for the year. Okay.
Okay.
MSU is 25-1 against MAC schools right now in the last 26 games. Mm-hmm. So there, you already know who's going to win this game. Hands down. State has also won 12 of their last 13 season openers. So things aren't looking good for the Broncos. I think that we're going to win this game. I think it's the under. I'll take the under. But the over, 21.5 is what I got them at. I think we cover that. I think we are more than a three touchdown team against Western. Western lost Ellerby and Moore. And they have five quarterbacks on their team. Four of them are freshmen. One's a sophomore. Yeah. And the sophomore, what's his name? Stone Hollenbach and the trash stash that he'll be rocking with like no receivers. So I'm not worried about Western. We're going to cover 21.5. We're going to win 38-10. But the narrative that I don't enjoy is it's just the easy thing. Oh, well, Kenneth Walker's gone. You're not going to be shit. That's not true. Because Tucker went to the portal and we got Jalen Berger and Jarek Broussard. Both of them transferred out, one out of Colorado, one out of Wisconsin. And I listen to this. I liken that combination of running backs to Quorum and Haskins. When Michigan had Quorum and Haskins 2 years ago, that was their 1-2 punch. And I honestly think there's not going to be a fall off from when we lost Walker, especially because my money's on Broussard for being that guy. He's a little bit smaller and a little bit shorter than Berger, but I don't have a problem with the run game. We've got Jalen Reed. We've got Peyton Thorne. He's apparently going up against his dad as the offensive coordinator for what? ESPN pushes that alert today, and it's not like they're going to like play thumb war against each other. They're on opposite sides of the field, or they're on the same side of the field at opposite times. So like, he's not really going up against his dad.
Yeah, but the dad knows what his son. The dad knows what his son can and can't do. That's a defensive coordinator's dream.
Right. But do you know what he doesn't know? He doesn't know when Tuck's going to come, and Tuck coming. Okay, Tuck is coming. So give me State winning 38-10. We will hold Western to 10 points. Mark my words. I'm wrong, then you can rub my face in it. But 38-10, take the under. Take State covering 21.5.
Okay. I have 38-14. I think I think you're going to get the classic start of the game. You're going to get a 7-7 game. and then you're going to see State just push the gas pedal and jump so far ahead. And then I think Western, you know, Western, this is a game for them. They're not going to give up till the end. Once the backups are in all that, Western will get some crappy 30-yard touchdown off the backups kind of thing. 38-14, because by then Mel Tucker will have taken his foot off the gas. Everybody will be sitting that matters. But look, this is – they didn't lose a lot. You have a returning quarterback. This is a very talented football team. I will give Mel Tucker his due. He did a great job with his team last year. Now he has the year he has to prove that it wasn't a one-off. He's got to go out and do it again, and then he's right there. That Michigan State is back in the conversation in Big Ten football. If Mel Tucker goes out and throws another 10-2, 11-1 season up against the wall, perfect. You're back in it. You cannot be ignored as a part of this. Now, if he goes out and has a 7-5, 6-6 year, and they look
I
last.
Hope not. I really
well, I
not.
Hope not. I for your sake, I hope not too. Obviously, I'm a Michigan.
Appreciate
fan.
That.
I would like them to go 0-12, but I don't. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, 6-6 season, you can't give out to like, oh, it's a learning curve. Well, it's not, because you had a lot of your pieces still here. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a great proving year for them, and I think it's a year they're going to rise to the occasion. 38-14, Michigan State over Western Michigan. And I'll be dead honest with you, Jay. The numbers I gave you are what I expect. I expect a 10-2, 11-1, that one loss. You know where that's at. 11-1 loss, or 11-1 season.
Ohio State. Okay.
All right, so 10-2 for Michigan State. I really do. I expect a big year out of them. I expect them to absolutely be in the conversation for the Big Ten Championship, in conversation for the College Football Playoff. If they can get out and get hot early, they're that kind of team. They really are.
See, and I agree with you. And the one thing I'm envious of, because I can't say this about Michigan. I wish that I could say this about Michigan State. I'm afraid of the Purdue moment. We took a Purdue yes. poop last year. And yes. I looked at that schedule. I can see two or three spots where we take another Purdue poop. It could be Washington. It could be Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the Purdue poop. And I look at your guys' schedule. I don't see a Purdue poop on your schedule at all.
It's tough to see a Purdue poop. I would never say that there's not one. The thing I like is we get 3 weeks to recover after going Penn State, Michigan State. We get 3 weeks before we have to touch Ohio State, which is nice. That's yeah. plenty of time to get healthy, get guys back on track if they've fallen off a little bit. So, yeah, there's less of a Purdue poop on this team. But let's be honest, this is the Big Ten. Somehow Illinois and Indiana and all them always find a way to be annoying in some way or way, shape, or form. So we'll see. Michigan takes on Colorado State.
Doesn't even matter what name, like what team is the Colorado State Rams? Never heard of you.
They're a prominent college football team of esteem and greatness. They're rich history of college football.
They're green and white too, mind you.
They are. They're absolutely green and white. I don't know a shit about them. I'm going to be honest with you. This is what I don't like. If you've listened to the show once, you've heard me say it. 97.6. That's not a real thing. That's too certain of a thing for me. So I'm going to alter it. It's 95% chance of us winning, not 97.6, because 2.4 is too thin a margin. It's too Appalachian State for me, especially since we're playing Colorado State. It's too that for me, and I don't like it.
This is the anniversary of the Appalachian State meltdown.
Every year
is
the anniversary, dude. Every
yeah, but today, but today, football. Today was the day that Appalachian State was plus 1200.
All right, well, here you go, buddy. The spread is 30.5.
I know.
And the over under is 61.5. This is where I take a minute. Let me stretch. Okay. Cade McNamara is back. I'm happy about this. JJ McCarthy is pushing him. I think that's a great thing, because it's going to push both of them to be better. There was the report, which we discussed, about Harbaugh saying we have two guys and all that. No, you don't. You have Cade McNamara. He beat Ohio State. He took a team to the College Football Playoff. He's your quarterback. JJ McCarthy is a great player. He's not that guy. If Cade goes down, we'll cross that bridge. But for now, Cade McNamara is your quarterback. Hassan Haskins is gone. That's tough. He was great for us down the stretch. But Corum is still there. I love it. We get Ronnie Bell back after missing an entire year on a fluke injury. This team has had another year to get better. Now, look, on the other side, yes, you lost Aiden Hutchinson. You lost a lot of great talent on that defense. They're going to have to figure out how to do a job. Oh, yeah. They lost multiple pieces. They're going to have to figure out a way to fill those gaps. But the nice thing about Michigan is they always seem to have that next man up mentality. And that next man up is usually – I was watching it the other day. An old game was on, and it was Rashad Gary and what was his name? Long-haired linebacker for Michigan. I'm going to blank on his name now, and I feel
Peppers?
Bad. No, not Jabril Peppers. I hate you. It starts with a W. Anyway, they were, but the thing was, they showed on the bench, next man up was Aiden Hutchinson. His backup was Aiden Hutchinson. I'm like, yep, that's that next man up mentality, Jay. And that's why I like Michigan. They seem to always have the next guy ready to go. And that's what it's going to be this year. I don't see Michigan having a drop off here. The Harbaugh's figured out what worked, and he's going to just keep going with it. The downside, you know, Gattis is no longer the offensive coordinator. Okay, next man up mentality.
Yeah, speed and space didn't really stick around for too long.
Chase Winovich, God, that came to me right as I got ready to type it. Nice. So yes, lots of pieces.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've got a quality club. I think that your Michigan and Michigan State are alike in a lot of ways right now, where their ceiling is, or their floor is pretty high up there. I'd expect Michigan to obviously win. Like, I literally put money on you covering 30.5. Like, should do this. You guys should have a very easy Saturday afternoon. It's going to be nice and crisp out. Sun will still be poking out. It's just a cakewalk of a first game, which I am giving you shit for, even though the schedule was probably set like 5 years ago. It's a dub. I enjoy thoroughly watching the circus act between JJ and Cade, because just Kelvin Shepard all day long. If he's the guy, he's the guy. You guys should know who your fucking starting quarterback is. So I don't fall in love with the bullshit that Harbaugh says, and that's what he wants to do, albeit. But you guys have a good team. I expect you guys to Ronnie Bell is going to be nice to see for a Michigan fan's perspective. Yes. I think he'll be the key piece of your team this year.
I don't disagree one bit. This is easy for me. It's 50-14. I think they cover. I think they go after them. I think even though this should be an easy game, Harbaugh is going to look at it as this is a get our shit together game. This is everything needs to be clicking, so we're going to click as long as we can. We'll sub guys in. We'll sub guys out. We'll make sure everybody gets their opportunity, but we want to make sure if you're on the field, you know what you're doing. So I see this being a big game for them. I see them going after it hard. 50-14. They cover everything. And yeah, bet your money on Michigan. Bet it big. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jay. So before we get to your gambling addiction, I wanted to ask you this one thing. We haven't really done this in the past. We do it to some extent at some point, but I'm choosing right now to do it because football season getting ready to start. NBA is just around the corner. I'm sure the Wings are getting ready to report any day now for camp. You know, they're right there, ready to go. So most of the sports teams are gearing up. Obviously, Tigers winding down. Not a lot to report there of good nature. You know, they made the change in the front office, so we'll see what this offseason looks like. I have a feeling we're going to see some big moves, but it is what it is. So I ask you this, though. You don't have to go too in-depth, but you can give me kind of what you're thinking here. If I told you, I need you to tell me, on September 1st, or predict to me, if we recap this on September 1st of 2023, what did we see out of the 2022-2023 Detroit sports?
I gotcha. By the way, the Wings are, they just painted the ice the other day, and okay. I had blood flow move to different parts of my body watching them paint an ice surface. So I am excited, literally. Red Wings, easy for me. 85 points or more in the standings of the season. The last four seasons, they've been at 74, 74, 73, and 79. They are better than that now, on paper at least. So I expect them to have 85 points and flirt with the playoffs, flirt with the last team in. So that's the Wings. The Lions, 8 wins.
Okay.
And yes, that's Hard Knocks pumping through my brain. I think they're going to have a turnaround just like State did. State went from like 2 or 3 wins to a 10-win team. I think the Lions are capable of making that turnaround like Michigan State just did.
Okay.
Pistons, flirt with the playoffs. That's it. Just flirt with the playoffs. You've got Cade. You've got Ivy. Who's the other one I'm missing here?
Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart. Yep.
It's not my forte.
No, I get it.
They should be in the playoffs. State and Michigan. State's like a 9-win team at best. Like I can't say they're going to be at 10 again. And Michigan, I expect them at 10. Like I don't see them being at 9. So I think both teams are right there. And it's the swing game of Michigan, Michigan State, where, you know, that offsets the ceilings and the floors there, but they're literally right next to each other, which I love. It's great for the state.
I completely agree. I'm with you. Lions, I have to see a 200% improvement. Now that was 3 wins, so 6 would be that. I have to see 6-7 wins, and every game has to be competitive. We can't have a Cincinnati Bengals 40-3 loss. That has to be competitive games all the way through. We've lost enough that I can take some losses if the other team just outright beats us. I can't take it if we beat ourselves and let the team have the win. So 6-7-8 wins. I need that. That shows me everything's on the right track. Red Wings and Pistons are actually kind of what you said. They're right there. I'm not even going to say flirt with the playoffs. I'm going to say you need to be at least 6-7 or 8 seed in. You need to be coming in to the playoffs. It can't be a 2 games play yourself in at the very end of the season. I want you to be in the playoffs with some certainty. Now I'm not expecting you to be a top 3 seed in the East, but you need to be in there with some certainty. Like you said, Cade, Ivy, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Bagley, they have enough pieces on this team now of talent that they have to be competitive. It's time to be competitive. I'm not expecting, a 70 win season. You're not going to compete with the all-time record like the Bulls and the Warriors did, but you can go out there and you can win 45 games. You can go out there and be a playoff caliber team. It's more than possible. Red Wings are the exact same thing. We're in year 4 now of the Iser plan. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it wasn't going to be something that needed to build a little bit, but the pieces are there. He's gone out and got who he wanted. You just had 2 guys who were rookie of the year candidates. One of them won it. You've drafted more pieces. Edvinson, I have to assume, is going to maybe compete. He's going to compete for a spot. Yep. So, and you've weaned out maybe the talent that you didn't think was ready to be on this team, and you've established the talent that you do think is ready to be on this team. It's time to be competitive. I think they need to do more than that. They need to play their way in where we're not questioning and looking at, standings 2 weeks before going, oh, I don't know, it's going to be tight. I want it to be, wow, that team better figure out how to do this or the Wings are going to absolutely be in the playoffs. That's what I want. And that's what
I told Russ that I wanted to see the Wings have a 100-point season. He looked at me as if I had like an elbow growing out of my face. But like, I can want it, but they're pushing towards it.
You were saying points and you're like 80, I think you said 84.
85
and I was
points.
Like, 85. I was like, that seems low. And then I'm like, well, 100's usually like the gold standard. So maybe that's not as low as I think it is. But yes, I get what you're saying. Because what? That's basically 22.
Win another couple handful of games.
Yeah, that's like 43 wins. 42, 43 wins, pretty much. It's 2 points a win. So yeah, that would make sense. And then Michigan, Michigan State. Like I said, I agree with you. 9-3, 10-2. I think that's State's sweet spot, and I think they'll absolutely get to it. I really do. 10-2. I obviously, for Michigan, I think for Michigan to have a chance to get back to where they were, they have to have a 11-1 or 12-0 season. That's asking a lot, and it's very tough to do. So we'll see what happens out of it, especially since Ohio State is going to want revenge. They're going to come out hard. Michigan State has seen that they can play with us, and they're going to make it tough. And like you said, there's that Purdue crap that just always seems to float around.
The Purdue poop.
And then one we didn't touch on, and it's too far out to really touch on it, but you have Izzo, who just re-signed a contract, and you have Juwan Howard. These are 2 guys that are legends at their schools. Both have proven that they want to win and know how to win. And I want that. I want 2 more deep runs in the March Madness. That's what Michigan and Michigan State both need. Izzo needs one just because I feel like it's been a little while since he's had one, and I think that would really spark a young team that he has. If they can get into that March Madness and go, and Juwan Howard just needs it because he's been there every year and he just can't seem to push through to that last little bit. So they need that. And I think they'll both be very competitive teams. I really do. So I think all in all, if you're a sports fan in Detroit, you have the potential for a really good next 365 days if you can just look past the Tigers. But
who?
But yeah, exactly. The Toledo Mud Hens.
The White Caps. Love it.
If you can look at everybody else, they're well worth it. It's absolutely a team that I think is going to be fun to watch. So, look, it should be a great year for Detroit sports. Now, like I said, if you're a betting man, that's what you're betting on. But what is Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus betting on over not the next 365 days, over the next 7 days? What do we got, buddy?
Well, I mean, I got my Chippewas tonight. So, like, I have a fully loaded $5 increments of like 13 bets. Okay. I don't go crazy. But I do it responsibly, just in high volume. I'm going to keep it very simple. Right now, I'm 0-2. Russ is 2-0, and Eric is 1-1. Scott Frost can go fuck himself because Northwestern.
That was just the worst game. It was not entertaining at all to me. I would like to point that out. And those helmets were dumb.
I saw a meme that Scott Frost had to ride like the wing of the plane home from Dublin. Like, he was just hanging on for dear life because it's not his year. No. So that didn't help. And then whoever picked betting on a preseason football game, that was stupid. That man should be shot. So don't take the Lions preseason. That was dreadful. What's left, though, is Oklahoma State versus the Chips tonight. Central getting 20.5, and I think they'll be just fine. You and Russ are on the other side. You think a 3-touchdown difference is going to happen there. Simply put, for the next couple of days, we're only going to focus on 3 teams, and you can pick either side that you want. And I'll give you the lines.
Okay.
Michigan State -21, yeah. U of M -30, Ohio State -17 against the Irish. And you can start anywhere you want.
Okay.
And I know what's the hardest one is the last one I said, because there's like probably 5 Heisman candidates on that team.
Exactly.
With no defense. But where do you want to fall on these lines?
I'm going to take the 21 and the 30. I think both Michigan State and Michigan clear that. If you listen to our predictions, we both have both teams clearing that. No problem. So I'm going to take those. I do. And I'm actually going to say Ohio State clears it by 17, because you got to remember, Brian Kelly left. They're in year one of a new head coach. We don't know what this Irish team is going to look like. They have the talent, absolutely. And sometimes talent can carry you a little bit. And but Ohio State's on the revenge tour this year. They think they should have been in that college football playoff. They probably think they should have won a national championship with the amount of talent they had. CJ Stroud is the front runner for the Heisman, in my opinion. He's the guy that if the Lions are going to take a quarterback next year, he's the one I want. Mm-hmm. But again, Brian Kelly now down in Baton Rouge, pretending like he's got a Southern accent.
Got that draw going.
Got that draw now, y'all. Yeah, y'all hear me now. We go run to football.
This is family time.
Yeah, exactly. You are literally not from that region of the world. So I'm going to say that Ohio State was 17. Sounds like a very safe pick. I think Notre Dame's still going to be a good football team this year, but they are not going to be the Fighting Irish of the past, where we have to debate if an independent has a chance of playing in the college football playoff.
I'm in lockstep with you for State and U of M. Both teams should cover the spreads on that. I'm going to take the Fighting Irish plus 17. I think, obviously, I'd have to say it's going to be a closer game. but I don't, that Ohio State defense, nah. I think that's going to be rusty. I think that if there's going to be a Big Ten team to stutter and or falter in week one, the choice would be OSU. So give me the dramatics. Give me the Fighting Irish plus 17 there. I'll ask Russ what he'll take. I imagine he'll be on the more reserved side and he'll take OSU -17. Mana would probably be like, yeah, take OSU -17. So that family would be all on Ohio State covering 17 points. I just want to see some dramatics. I'm here for a good time.
Mana needs to start being a little more impartial. She did graduate from Michigan as well. So we need a little more impartial out of her. She's going very one side here. I need a little down the middle.
And Indiana, she is a well-read person.
She's read a book. At least one.
More than one.
Now, I would say at least one. I don't know about more than one. That's a lot. Indiana, Michigan. You can get through without reading too many books, I think.
I bet she's read more books than you and I have combined, sir.
Well, that's not tough, dude. I'm still trying to finish my first book. So all the ones with pictures are easy to get through. It's when they put all those words in there.
Give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing out of this is after this, starting this next week, I should potentially be like 5-1. Because I'm going to get all of these right. So
I haven't picked a winner yet.
That's not good. It's not good at all. No. Look, it's going to be a very fun week. Football is back. We're so excited about it. I know you are. I am too. I fully expect this weekend to be the most I spend texting human beings because we're going to be talking football. And then Jay and I are going to talk about golf at some point because we love it so much. But
yeah, because Gary Player needs to shut his goddamn mouth and stop complaining. That old man needs to be quiet.
Well, that and Freddie Couples with his my apologies to everybody whose birthdays and weddings I've missed. I was out on the tour trying to earn a living.
My God.
Look, I love Freddie Couples. He's an amazing golfer, but these guys are the old guard who, like, they built the tour, so they can't understand why everybody's not appreciating it. But I hate to break it to you. Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer have both said when they started out, the money was so terrible that they didn't know if they were going to do it or not. If you had told them if they could have just lasted 5 years and then they would have gotten $200 million, both of them would have never played on the PGA Tour again. They would have taken the money. So yep. Competitor in me would want to believe that everything would stay the same. It wouldn't. So it is what it is. That's going to do it for us here in Armchair Sports Talk. As always, my thanks to Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus, the czar of betting if you want to lose a little bit of cash.
I'm having fun along the way. Sometimes you stumble. Like right there, I said Gary Player. Not fun, Gary Player. It's Freddie Couples.
Oh, that's Gary Player too. But
was it? Okay.
Stumble. You know, Jay, I'm here to course correct you. You did the right thing there, not the wrong thing.
I picked the oldest golfer name out of the top of my head, and it was like Gary Player. That's I know right. It's Freddie Couples.
The things you did were right there.
I'm batting 1,000. Go green.
Yep, there he goes. I'm not going to say that with you, though. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us. One giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting. Since Rusty's not here to say it, I will say it. Go Blue.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.